Hare Krishna. This morning's Bhagavatam class continued on from yesterday's theme. Although before I go on with that, yesterday was morning. Had a nice, went to one of the major commercial radios in Hungary, in Budapest, and had a very nice interview, hour-long interview. It wasn't live, but it went on the air last night at 9 o'clock, hour-long program. And finally at the end, the interviewer said, okay, so just how does the mantra go? And we went over the Maha Mantra. She sort of knew it. And I said, well, how do you know the mantra? He says, well, you know, I go to my therapist all the time, and she's always got this Hare Krishna music playing in the background. So that was quite interesting that the therapists are using kirtan for their background music for the therapy of their patients. And yesterday we were talking about the culture of respect, and this morning after we read the verse, it was a purportless verse, and tomorrow Nyanjan Maharaj is going to give class, and he's got a really great topic over there. Not topic on, it's not this subject matter, but another one. But I won't give that away yet. We'll record his class tomorrow and listen to that. And so I asked about this. I said, so where does respect start in life? And different people said different things. Finally, someone said parents. And I said, correct. And because the whole culture is based on respect, so of course, where do you learn respect from, and with who do you cultivate respect in the very beginning? Well, your parents. And I said, all right. And of the parents, which parent? And then someone said the mother, which was correct, and that was what we really elaborated upon, that the mother is the first person that a child, even prior to birth, at the time of conception, meets, and is the first person has association with. It's the first person who nourishes them, takes care of them, develops a relationship with them, so that the primary cultivation of a relationship with a person, and therefore respecting that person, starts with learning how to respect one's own mother. That's only at a certain stage when children get a little older that they also recognize their father, and then beyond that start developing a relationship with the father. But mother is the original guru, the first person, and aside from the fact that one owns one's or one owes one's body to one's mother, if in a proper Vedic culture, then one owns one's psychology, good psychology, to one's mother as well, through the process of Gavadan Samskar. And so if one doesn't know how to offer respect to one's mother, then how will one learn how to offer proper respect to others? And then, of course, the biological mother is not the only mother. Ado Matra, Guru Patri, and so on. There are seven mothers altogether. Brahmani, wife of a Brahmin, who's also a mother, and our understanding that all women are also addressed as mother. And if devotees learn how to respect all women in the same way that they should respect their mother and offer the same level of respect, then you can progress from there and learn how to offer proper respect to others, but not respecting some and not respecting others. Unfortunately, the society that we live in isn't based on giving respect to women, and certainly Srila Prabhupada didn't consider women's liberation or putting women in equal roles as men to be a sign of respect. You see just the opposite. Women are viewed as sense objects, sex toys by men. That psychology does not change in the least. It becomes more and more of a problem. From anything from the toothbrush that you use to the car that you drive, is women are used as bait to in advertisement to have one develop his appetite for some particular produce or product. Hardly something that you would do with your mother. I was just recently reading an article on how one of the more prominent weapons in warfare nowadays, sadly there are so many wars all over the world, is the rape of women. Not something you read about in the Mahabharata. It wasn't happening during the Mahabharata war, but is really happening nowadays. One way to demoralize and your opponent is to rape their wives, daughters, and not only are you fighting an immediate war or making a statement, not exactly on the battlefield, but during the process of war, but you're leaving the marks of that battle for generations to come in the future. What a horrible thing. And it's going on. It's going on in the Western world, it's going on in the civilized world, in the uncivilized world, or maybe there's no such thing as a civilized world to start with. It's going on in India. Over the last few years, there have been some very high-profile cases where Indian women, where tourists have been just raped, gang raped by foolish men who are probably somewhat of a victim, bewildered by all the stupid movies that they see, in which women are also pranced around, marched around as sense objects. And of course, and it's a little tangent off the topic, but unless India really comes back to what it really is meant to do, which is show the real respect, which is there in its original Vedic culture for women, who's going to take it seriously? That's one. The other is, as long as the whole country looks like a garbage dump, although the rest of the world will be happy to sell them telephones and cars, but no one's really going to consider that this country is on par with any Western country in terms of just basic rights and in terms of basic things like cleanliness and so on. And of course, add to that also the corruption, the endemic corruption in India. Okay, back to our original topic. And unfortunately, because I'll just sidetrack to another example, something that they may read about, whether happening in it happens in Afghanistan, in Pakistan, in India, happens in the UK. I really read about it in Canada. Honor killings, where some girl marries outside of her caste, marries to some other boy, or runs off, or misbehaves, and to protect the honor of the family, then they murder her. This is what's called honor in the mode of ignorance, if that's what you're looking for, things in the mode of ignorance. And it gives a bad name to those so-called conservative cultures, that this is what conservative culture means. It means madness. But of course, the women's liberation of the West is, although more protective in that sense, but ultimately not really a solution. Vedic culture had the proper solution, and that was one of the things that Srila Prabhupada wanted us to re-establish. And one of his disciples said, "Well, Prabhupada, in the West we don't know how to treat our mothers." And Prabhupada said, "Learn it." So it's something that we all need to learn. And if we learn how to show respect to our original gurus and mothers, those who we owe the most to, of course one's own biological mother, and at least by extrapolation, and others who are also mother, and them to be treated like that, then our society can really establish a culture in which we can apply the principles of our Krishna conscious philosophy nicely. Because sadly, all of the habits of exploitation of women is something that, like with other bad habits, we may bring along with us into the Krishna consciousness movement. And in that way, we misrepresent what really devotional service of Krishna consciousness is about, and we obstruct our own advancement in spiritual life. We also cause problems for others, and we don't do justice to the spiritual culture that Srila Prabhupada wanted us to properly establish. Those were some of the things that we talked about this morning, and because I have a whole morning of meetings, therefore I shall conclude here and continue tomorrow. Hare Krishna.